You're able to get on. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Morning, thank you. Aaron, thanks for coming on tonight. I concur with that there's a big belief that the Americans don't want to cancel.
Hello? Hello? Can you hear me, Sana? I'm not hearing you, Hana, at all. I apologize. I've unmuted the phone now. Can everybody be heard?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Yeah, well, it says when you come on that the conference organizer had muted the phone.
Okay, well, I'll change that next time.
Okay.
It looks like Brandy.
Yes.
It looks like you're the only one coming because you're using which code? 911-904?
The one that you just gave me. 911-904? Yeah.
Right.
And the
okay.
new phone number.
Right. Yeah. So you're able to get on, but Hana's still not able to get on with that code.
Does she have the new number?
Yes, she has the new number.
Well, I called Malka today. I gave it to her and I gave it to Judy.
Oh, thank you. So far it's just you on. See, I had trouble trying to get on with that same code, and Hana is also, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, give it time, you know, because she keeps trying.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to give it us some time.
I really think that the adversary is playing havoc between you and Hana. Because I could get on.
I understand. It's been a little bit crazy.
So that must mean I'm still connected to the negative side.
Well, I hope not. But.
Well, I certainly hope not, too. But there's always good to have a spy in the camp. Not our camp,
that
but their
true.
Camp.
That is true. So
if
we'll
I can
just
help,
wait.
Sure will. Say, you want to hear something funny?
Not right now. I'm trying to do a text. So
okay.
Give me a second.
All right. Remind me.
Okay, now I can hear something funny.
Okay, the funny thing is, leave it to God made Texans, and we're an unusual bunch. That with our drinking and our food. So the Texas vodka distilleries here that make vodka named Red Barn Vodka, they have canceled making vodka, and they're now making hand sanitizer. I think that's so funny.
Vodka doesn't have as much profit as hand sanitizer.
Hey, you know what? Amen to that, brother. Ain't that the truth? Between that and toilet paper.
Unbelievable.
So if you didn't get your vodka before now, too bad for you, and you only have a short time to drink it up before Passover.
Well, just going to have to work on that.
Yeah, have to work on that. Leave it to Texans.
I'm sorry we're not getting it, but we're going to get this under control
okay.
At some point.
Sure. I'm having Zohar withdrawals. I need to hear that Hebrew, because my Hebrew isn't as good as yours. Yay!
You ought to hear what I did on my cell phone. Oh, my.
Well, they tell us not to use the cell phone, so. But
I'm on the landline. Okay, well, it would ring, but it would play some kind of song, some kind of music.
Well, at least we're on, and we'll be able to do a Rosh Chodesh tonight, which is what I was concerned about.
Mm-hmm. Yay!
But while we're here, we can start do at least one or two verses from Parashat Vayera, section 7, and I believe we're starting with Pasuk 104 after the Lishay Yichud.
Okay, my table just broke, so I'm going to have to hold for a minute.
Okay. I'm going to say the L'shem Yehud, and then I'll wait until she comes back.
Okay.
I'm back.
L'shem Yehud. Okay. L'shem Yehud kuchabari hu ishkin day bit hilu urhimu udhilu udhilu urhimu le'akta l'shem yud he bavav he v'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah la'asot Torah mitzvah v'yino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kananei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kananeihu. Number one, the new phone number is now permanent, and the code is really the same code from last time. So whatever problem that there is, I'm not sure, but at least it's working.
The 911-904 is the code, right?
911-904 is the pound is the 911-904 pound is the code.
Right. Okay.
And that's what we'll be using. Tachate kol ma di akil Avraham b'tacharaihu kakil ugin kach achrev kamayhu v'yachle unter Avraham b'veteya dakya savuta da'afilu barnashtihu misav lahawa mishamish beveteya ad de'aved leya tevila o aved leya lenam natra shiva yomin ki kachaze leya beveteya the hakehu vadai. The translation, come and see. Everything Avraham ate was according to the rites of purity. And because of this, he served it to the angels who ate. In his home, he observed the rites of purity so strictly that an impure person could not serve at his home unless he, Avraham, immersed him in a ritual bath. If he was slightly impure, or he made him keep purity properly for 7 days at his home, if he was severely impure. Afterwards, he immersed him. My commentary. This pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. How does one tell if another is impure? The answer is in the Torah. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I think he knew by the sense of smell. And I wonder if today he were living in today's world and would see us using cell phones on Shabbat, would make us go immerse ourselves.
What would he have us do on Shabbat?
Are you asking me a question?
Yeah, I didn't really hear what you said about what you thought he would have us do on Shabbat.
I said, would he ask us to go to the mikveh that, and say we were impure if we were using our cell phones on Shabbat?
Well,
let me say something before you answer. When we were in Israel,
okay,
everybody put their phones in a drawer on Shabbat, you know, and we walked to the synagogue, and we came home and had our meal, and then we took a nap, and then we woke up, and then we studied, did Pirkei Avot, and really discussion and that kind of thing. And then we could always tell when Shabbat was over because of our where our apartment was, so we were behind the mall, really part of the mall building, but separated from the mall as an apartment. And so once we heard the traffic, we knew Shabbat was over, whether we were watching the clock or not. There was also a message that was given us while we were in services that there was trouble with the water and not to drink the water. And see, that message was given because everybody else, you know, that was there, most everybody, I guess, didn't have their phones on, though, so they wouldn't have known, you know. And that's what we saw everybody else doing. And, of course, there wasn't as much, there wasn't cell phones at the time, but there were the phones. And we had to let our family in America know not to call us on Shabbat. And, of course, the time difference, too. So that's why I asked that, because I just felt like it was real, real important last Shabbat and this Shabbat that we not use our cell phones. And even to read the Torah portion, I found it really hard because I was used to the iPad that had bigger font than my Kumash, and because it was a double portion, it was very hard to read, but it was okay, but it took me a long time with the Hebrew because it was smaller print for me. So what do you think Moses would say if he lived in today's world? Especially since the Zohar says that technology is the tree of knowledge, good and evil.
The Torah actually says that do not light a fire. And the Kabbalists indicate that that has the meaning of do not connect with the left column. The Torah, there's an interpretation that the word for a city is technology. That the word city has an allegory. Of that it's technology. But it's not saying that it's left columns. So my opinion is the rabbis have erected a fence with electric lights and with cell phones and things of this nature because it's the left column of the right column if you use it that way, if that's your consciousness. Meaning, if you're studying the Torah using that device, you're not connecting to the left column, you're connecting to the left column of the right column. But it's easy, once you connect to the left column of the right column, to slip and fall into the left column. And that's why the halakha says, don't use your cell phone, don't use electricity on Shabbat. That's my opinion. But I also would need to mention to you that for the first time in recorded history of my knowledge, in the land of Israel, every human being kept a Shabbat. Because they couldn't go out. They were under the restraints of, with respect to the virus. There was no place to go. There were no minions. And so they all stayed at home and studied. And unless they had arguments within their own family, everyone kept the Shabbat completely. And we have a tradition that when two Shabbats are kept, two Shabbats in a row are kept properly, that the redemption will take place. The Mashiach will arrive. So I haven't gotten a report that said that nobody got angry with their family. But if they were able to do not be upset with any family this past Shabbat, and they can keep that again this coming Shabbat, the redemption is going to be here. And this is consistent, and I'm going to go on a little bit for a few more minutes. We'll just stay with this one verse today. But I listened to a recording today from a rabbi that I follow that sometimes I agree and sometimes I don't. But he is trying to explain all of the modern events in terms of the redemption and the Mashiach. But he's very clearly explained in this recording, and if you want, you can request the link and I'll send it to you. He essentially said that since we know this virus is designed by Hashem, and he calls it a designer drug, because the purpose of it, Satan accuses the Jewish people of Lashon Hara. It accuses the Jewish people of hatred for no reason. It accuses the Jewish people of many forms of negativity. And God wants to bring them the redemption. But every time he goes and says, I want to bring the redemption, Satan says, just as he said at the splitting of the Yam Suf, how can you kill the Egyptians and let the Jews live? Because they're both doing the same thing. They're both doing the same sins. And God overrode that assertion at that point, because walking through the split sea was a mikveh, was a cleansing. And that's why the Egyptians could be killed after the Jews crossed. Now, we have this cleansing of the virus and the COVID-19. But what is the cleansing about? The cleansing is about removing the sins of Lashon Hara. Because you can't really express hatred if you can't talk to people, if you can't see people. Yes, there's social networking, but it is not the same as someone speaking Lashon Hara to another directly. And this is the reason behind this. Because if you look at the numbers of people who are ill and people who are dying, it's more severe than the flu. But it's not anywhere near the problem of the 1919 flu epidemic or the Black Plague, where millions of people died in the Black Plague in the 1300s, and 50,000 people died in America from the Spanish flu in 1919. This was significant numbers of people dying. Now what it is people are afraid of dying. The fear of dying is a suffering that is worse than the actual death. Because the fear of dying lasts for a longer time. Someone dies, their pain in the physical world ends, and their cleansing in the spiritual world begins. But they know when they're in the spiritual world that the cleansing that they're going through in Gehinnom has a purpose of cleansing physicality from their soul. The fear of death in the physical world is a worse suffering than actually dying in the physical world. And since very few people are dying, people are afraid of dying, but are not actually dying. Now, of course, that's not 100% true. There are people dying, and we need to feel that pain. But what this rabbi was saying is this suffering being worse than death is the cleansing to put aside the charges that Satan would bring so that Hashem can bring the redemption without having to deal with overriding Satan's charges. It's a very interesting argument. I agree with it. But there's even another level to it, because what is the effect of this illness? Is the economy is being shattered. People can't work. People are afraid of being able, if they're going to be able to pay their bills. All of these things that are fearful, that people are afraid of, becomes the suffering. And this kind of suffering of lack of certainty, that Hashem knows what he's doing, because of course he does, all of these kinds of fears is the cleansing that each individual person needs to go through in order that Satan cannot bring a charge against them for these various sins that we have all done, including idol worship, which is letting go of the physical things, like going out to dinner so the restaurants are closed, going to the amusement park so the amusement parks are closed, going and getting a drink and getting drunk because the bars are closed. As you look at each aspect, you begin to understand his argument. And what he's really doing, Hashem is doing, is causing people to cleanse the hatred that's been going up on and growing for the last 10, 20, 30, 40 years. So your answer to your question about whether you can use a cell phone on Shabbat or not, it really depends on what you're going to use it for. And whether you're going to, once you've read the Torah, will you turn it off? Once you've read the Torah, will you leave it on so that your family will call you and they'll talk to you and you'll pick up the phone? I get calls during my classes from time to time. It's not often. But my class time is my Torah time. The sages have told us, set a period of time to study Torah that you don't allow any disturbances. Why? Why do they want us to do that? Because any time we allow that mundane aspect into our life, we have a tendency to follow that mundane aspect, which is Satan, back into his lair. That's my answer to your question, Anna.
Thank you.
And we're out of time.
Okay, thank you.
But at least we now know how to get onto the conference call. We've defeated Satan with respect to the conference call.
And it took us all day, but we've got the light hid from the birds. It took us all day finding those birds. So, thank you.
Well, you don't have to fight them. You just have to remember that the birds are speaking to you You just got to learn how to understand their speech.
Well, I did. I even sang to them. I did all kinds of things. And then we set up something and figured out what to do. But I'm telling you, and this is every year. But I think we solved the problem. It took us most of the day.
Baruch Hashem.
And even Hashem sent someone to help Tony with it because he's so wobbly right now and he's dizzy.
Right.
Oh, my, you know.
Well, just think of it in terms of, was this suffering for you? And it's a rhetorical question. We don't need to answer it. But that's everything that's going on, every pain, every discomfort is a form of suffering. And Rabbi Ashlag in the Ten Luminous Emanations teaches very clearly, there are two paths to the redemption. One is the path of Torah and the other is the path of pain and suffering. And pain and suffering is really everyday life. In one way or another, you can be joyful, and that's the path of Torah. So if you're happy that the birds came, if you're happy that this pain came, that's the path of Torah.
Well, I wasn't happy, but I laughed because Tony was in the garage building a step stool so that I could stand up to see inside my microwave. Because I can't see the microwave, okay? And I was hollering loud as I could for him to come because I have to open and shut the door, and that noise scares him away. And so I'm laughing because no matter how hard I hollered, he didn't hear me. And by the time I finished 30 minutes of shutting the door and opening the door and shutting the door and singing in Hebrew and all I could see was the Baal Shem Tov just singing and dancing and saying, be joyful.
Exactly.
Oh, my. But I miss getting on the worldwide prayer. That's why I was hollering for him so he'd come take my place at the door. So I missed
it. Look at it this way, Hannah. You got extra practice for Elijah.
Well, what happened? I got so tired, I had to go to my chair and take a nap.
There you go. What can I say?
Oh, well, but anyway.
You have a beautiful evening.
Thank you, Hanok. Okay, appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you, Hanok.
Kodesh
Tov. Shalom.
Kodesh Tov. Bye-bye.